promises. We want to look at this in two ways. One, collectively, like how can we together as a church family trust the promises of God? And also individually, to be able to say in our own lives, how can I live with courage and confidence no matter what comes my way? So here's what I wonder. If you and I were to sit down over coffee and just talk through, hey, what are the highs in your life right now? What are the lows? Like, what are the things going on in your life behind the scenes? I think all of us would have something that we would say, I hope you'd have something, you'd go, I'm celebrating this, but I can almost guarantee that there'd be something you say that I'm facing in my life that I feel is a challenge. I don't know what is gonna happen. There's an uncertainty. There's a cloud on the horizon or over my head, or maybe for someone I love. If you have no problems in your life, you have actually, you've died and gone to heaven. You're in a good place. But all of us have situations, and in those moments, we're looking for something and someone beyond ourselves to say, I don't think I have the resources to do this on my own. And when you come back to the promises of God, a God who sees you and knows you and loves you and has all the wisdom and strength and peace and everything else to pour out into our lives. And so many of those come through his promises that we can go, these are the promises that I cling to, especially when I'm facing a crisis or a challenge that I don't know how it's going to be resolved. It's been like that through the centuries, that you look at people, you go, how are they carried along? Like, how do they do it? And so many followers of the Lord would say, I did it because I got to know the promises of God, and they sustained me and they strengthened me. So I want us to look at today one of the most frequently stated promises in the scripture. And I think there's a good reason for that, because it is such a bedrock promise for all of our lives. And it might be something you go, I know that, but to know it and to experience it and to drill it down into our lives is something that we go, that's what we want to do today. So if you would turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, paper Bible, Bible app, whatever you have there. It's the sixth book of the Bible, so we're toward the beginning here of God's work throughout history. By the way, there are some notes on the way in on the little round tables. If you miss those, you can just go to our website, gracecma.org, and you'll see right on the homepage there are some notes for today's message. You can fill in and those of you engaging online, that's the way you'll do it. If you fill in the blank the wrong way, it'll shock you actually in your hand and tell you the right answer. So you can get that. Joshua 1, they needed this promise and we need it today. Here's the historical context. Joshua comes on the scene just after Israel's most famous leader up until that time, Moses, had led the people out of oppression through the Red Sea into the wilderness. They had an extended detour that was supposed to be like 12 days, ended up being 40 years, and they arrive at the border of their new homeland. They've grown from a population of just a small group of relatives, 70 people, to about 2 million. They're on the cusp of something great, like a new era for this nation, this burgeoning nation, and Moses dies. That's a total crisis. And that's where Joshua 1 begins. So let's start in Joshua 1, verse 1. It says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, remember that description there, Moses, my servant, is dead. As if Joshua had to be told. I mean, he knew. This was like his closest, you know, he was mentored by Moses. They had been grieving for days. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert in the south to Lebanon in the north, from the great river in the east to the Euphrates, all the way to the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Let's just pause there a second. Moses was this leader appointed by God. He was the one through whom the law was delivered, their culture. God worked miracles. Even in Revelation, it talks about the song of Moses. Like this guy was, I mean, he did it all. Moses, my servant, is dead. If you're Joshua, what are you feeling? In verse 2, he's called Moses what? His aide. It's like being an intern. You know, you're sort of in the shadow of this giant of a person. And can you put yourself in Joshua's shoes? God tells him, hey, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you then and all these people, all 2 million of them, you're going to lead them to take this land. And Joshua's going, wait a second here. God, you're telling me I'm going to lead them into the land that we send spies into that land. And the 10 of them came back. This vast, you know, the majority and said, hey, the majority report is we can't do it. There's giants in that land. Like they're well fortified. We're not going to be able to do it. You want me to lead them into that land? Why didn't you have Moses do that? And God, Moses, this is a guy who grew up in royalty. Like he grew up toddling around, you know, as a little guy in the courts of the Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt. He was educated with the best, trained with the elite. Then he goes out and, you know, maybe you know some of Moses' story, but he ends up killing a guy, ends up running for his life, and he's out in the wilderness. But when he comes back, God, Joshua's saying, all those plagues, those miracles that you worked, like I remember all the water turned blood. You know, there was the hailstones. There was all of that, the frogs that came up. God, I'm no Moses. And when we're on the cusp, but we were sandwiched in between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. And then God, Moses raised up a staff and you parted the waters. And we passed through in dry land. And I'll never forget the walls of water on either side. And then we went into the wilderness and the manna fell from heaven and there was quail. You know, we had all the meat and the water came out of a rock. God, I am not Moses. And God gives his promise. In verse 5, and he says this, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And then listen to this, as I was with Moses, so I will be what? With you. I will never leave you or forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Just let that sink in for a second. Do you hear what he's saying? It never was about the man. It wasn't about Moses. It was about the God of Moses, right? It's not about the human leader. It's about the all-seeing, all-powerful, all-wise God of the universe. Moses, my servant, is dead. But Joshua, I'm not done working. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And that changes everything. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. When I read this, I feel like I'm hearing my dad speak again. My siblings and I would tell you, there were times that dad, he would... He would just repeat himself, and I wanted to tell him, Dad, that's like the 12th time you've told me that. And I think he probably wanted to tell me that's because you need to hear it like 25 times because you've not been listening or because there's a deficit in your life. And then I hear myself doing the same thing to my kids. Like, I know you're coming home after midnight tonight. I just want to tell you there's this many, you know, people on the road who are going to be, you know, driving on the... They're like, Dad, you tell me that every single time I go out. I know, because I don't want you to ever forget it, right? Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Why? The last verse there, verse 9, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you where? Wherever you go. Wherever you go. Friends, the theme of God's presence is one of the most consistent messages all the way through the scripture. That God says to his followers over and over again, he's like, I'm gonna be with you. I'm never gonna leave you. Some scholars, Bible teachers say that it's over 100 times throughout the 66 books that compose our scriptures. I put a lot of them in your notes. You can look up more. Let me just a few examples to Isaac, who's feeling alone and afraid. Often those two go together. You feel like I'm all by myself here and I'm scared, spitless, and you know, I don't know what to do. And God says to Isaac, do not be afraid, for I am with you. To Moses, you go, I thought he was the powerful leader. He was. He still felt inadequate. You read about what happened to Moses at the burning bush. And he's like, God, I am not your guy. You know what the God of the universe tells him? Moses, I'm going to be with you. To Gideon, who also was like, wait, you want to use me? God, there's a lot better people out there. You've got the wrong person. And the Lord's response, I love what he says. He says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He's speaking words into Gideon's life that Gideon felt anything but a mighty warrior. You have Jeremiah who says, God, you read Jeremiah 1. God, I'm not a good speaker and I'm really young. You can find more adequate people than moi. It's a theme that sort of runs through the scripture. God loves to use people who feel inadequate. And he keeps on saying like he does to Jeremiah. He says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. Friends, that's the promise of God to every single one of us who put our trust in him. That God says to you today, he says, do not be afraid. I am with you. I will be with you. And I will never, ever leave you. You're never alone. Never. You go, well, John, this is Joshua, you know, and I don't really, you know, I'm not a Joshua. Friends, this is the theme, like I said, through the scripture. You come to the first of the Gospels, Matthew, the historical account of Jesus' life, and it's sort of bookended with this promise. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, even Jesus' name, it says, and the virgin will give birth to a child, and you'll name him Emmanuel, this little baby Jesus, which means what? God with us. Like Jesus is actually God with skin on. He's God with us. That's Matthew chapter 1. You come to the end of the, you know, Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, it's the final chapter. And Jesus, soon after his coming back to life, incredible moment, he's speaking some of his final words to his followers, and he tells them this. He says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I mean, he could have told him a lot of things, but it's one of the things he just didn't want him to forget. Let me ask you this. Do you think you're included in that promise? Friends, absolutely. It's all of us that no matter what you face, no matter what crisis, you know, comes into your life, no matter what fear might well up within you, you can know the promise of God. Jesus says today, surely I am with you, Jonathan and Alyssa and Bill and Alex and Ted and all of you, I am with you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That means right now, he's with you tonight. He's gonna be with you tomorrow and all through this week and every single day afterward. Just like he said to Joshua, he can say to you, as I was with Joshua, as I was with Esther, as I was with David, as I was with Elijah, as I was with Peter, as I was with Tabitha, I will be with you. You might say, Jonathan, I know that, but I don't feel his presence. I'm not even sure I deserve his presence. You'd be right about that, and so would I. None of us deserve his presence, but he makes the promise simply because of his grace and his desire to be in fellowship with us. So what if you don't feel it? You know, one of the reasons I love reading through the scriptures like the Psalms is that the real people who mess up a lot, you know, they're relatable. And you read through the Psalms, and so often in the Psalms, David's like, God, where are you? God, I don't sense you. God, we've been reading through the book of Job recently. If I could go find him, I would find him, but I can't even, I don't sense the presence of God. And then David and Job and others come back to the place where David says, there's nowhere I can go, God, where I flee from your presence. You're everywhere. You're everywhere. Someone has said, you know, don't doubt in the darkness what God has revealed in the light. So if you don't feel like God is with you, can I just say this sort of gently as I can? Ultimately, it doesn't, your feelings don't change the truth. Your feelings, if you're allowing your feelings to guide your life, you're being led wrongly. It's not that they're not important, but the facts of God's word and my faith to believe it always come before my feelings. Because if I'm led by my feelings, I'm going to do a lot of really wacky stuff. Let's just take it a step further. You and I have it better than Joshua. In fact, we have it better than Moses, better than John the Baptist. Why? Because something massive happened, a really positive change in the first century, some 2,000 years ago. Here's what took place, is sort of through history. In the Old Testament, and up through the arrival of Jesus in the first century, really up until his ascension to heaven after he came back from death, God's consistent promise was that he was going to live what? Where? With us, right? So that's often the promise, I will be with you. But on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, fifth book of the New Testament, it's 10 days after Jesus has ascended to heaven. His followers, about 120 of them, are in this upper room. And the Spirit of God comes and doesn't only come to be with them, he comes to live what? In them. Every single person who puts their trust in Jesus and his sacrifice and says, Jesus, I leave behind my way of doing life. I'm following you, that he fills us with his presence. The very strength and the character and the love of Jesus, all of the life of Jesus comes to live within me. He is in me to live the life that I was intended to live. He didn't just live with me, he lives in me. Friends, you can count on that promise. Like it's a game changer to know that I have his presence with me and in me wherever I go. And can we just say this is our future as well? For all believers, that one of the main features of heaven is going to be, I mean, if you, the second last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, we read this, Revelation 21 verse 3, it says, God himself will be with them and will be their God. That's the best part about heaven. It's not just gonna be the limitless ice cream that has zero calories, as I thought for many years, you know? Although I hope that's the case as well. Heaven's gonna be great in a lot of ways, but here's what makes it all possible. The one who loves you and who died for you and forgives you, the one who is amazing and beautiful and creative and fun and welcoming and everything, he will be with us forever, and like in person. And in the meantime, in this broken world, you go, well, I know it's always been his promise, it's what heaven's gonna be all about, but what about today? And we can say this, God will never lead you where his presence will not accompany you. You are never alone. In fact, can we read that together aloud? Can we say that? Would you say that with me? God will never lead you where his presence will not accompany you. You are never alone. Some of you know that this has been really important in my own journey. I don't feel like I'm the most capable person. I deal with inadequacy more than I deal with overconfidence. I'm not saying I don't struggle with that, but I would say a lot of the times I just go, God, I think you could probably find somebody else to do this. And sometimes I just forget that he's with me. And I think I'm probably not alone in that one. So a number of years ago, I wrote down a phrase that you see on a card that's on the screen here. And it's, I keep it in my Bible. I keep it by my computer, on my desk. I keep it in a lot of places just as a reminder that, Lord Jesus, you are with me right now. And that verse from Genesis, surely the Lord is in this place. And we've passed out thousands of these. One friend told us, he said, I was in a terrifying car accident. He said, that card was right up on my dash, like I had that. Other people have said it's on my mirror, you know, or I keep it on the fridge in the kitchen. The promise of Jesus, friends, is this, that he's always with you, always. Individually, also he said what? Collectively. Can I just remind you that's true for our church family as well? Some of you know that Mary and I may be sent out in the coming months. There may be a transition. Some of you are new to Grace going, wait, what did he just say? Talk to the person nearby you afterward and go, what did he mean by that? There's a potential change. Can I just say, let's remember this. Just as it was not ultimately about Moses or Joshua, although I'm not comparing myself to either one of them. I'm sure they had way better hair, better robes, better a lot of things, you know. But here's at least all the pictures, you know. But here's the point. It's not about the human leader, right? It's not about Jonathan and Mary. It wasn't about Moses. It wasn't about Joshua. God is going to continue his work. He is the focus and the foundation of our church family. And if someone were to say like, well, you know, if Jonathan and Mary are going to maybe be sent out from Grace in transition, maybe I'm going to leave Grace as well. Can I just say real gently, your focus is on the wrong person. Because it's not about human people. It's about Jesus, right? And he's going to continue his work whether I'm here for 30 more years or not. And we're still going to be family, same team, all because of Jesus. He's going to keep every promise he made. And sometimes in the unknown, like I get it when I go, when I hear a testimony of a widower, and I go, what if Mary were to die in some way? I'd be crushed. Do I wonder how I could go on? I do. But do I also believe that Jesus will keep his promise to say, Jonathan, I will be with you. I'll give you grace in that moment. And he will. He's going to be faithful. So how do we respond? Virtually every promise that you read in the scriptures comes with some kind of condition, not all of them, but most of them, where there's a role that we have, there's a part that we play, that we say, okay, God made this promise, but there's something on my side as well. And that's true here as well. So what does the Lord say to Joshua? Here's our best response with Joshua. Stay close to Jesus and his word. That's what he tells Joshua. Listen to how the Lord says this. Joshua is facing this mammoth challenge, feels way overset in what he's being called to, wonders how in the world is it going to happen. And here's what the Lord tells him in verse 8. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Let's just take that phrase by phrase. First of all, God's word always on your lips. What does that mean? You know, is it something like, you know, he means that his word, like you're speaking it, you're saying it, you're encouraging others. You're how often? Always on your lips. You think about it day and night, he says. So it's not just like a 5-minute start to your day and then you move on with the rest of your day. He's going, no, God's word, if you want to know that Jesus is near, let the word of God be near. Like let the word of God just throughout the day be part of your life. And then how we respond matters. He says, be careful to follow most of it, the majority of it. No, what does he say? Be careful to follow all of it, right? Everything written in it. You, friends, you can trust this book, even when it runs contrary to culture, even when it seems out of sync, even when it goes against what you want in your life, and you go, oh, I hate that it says that. But you follow the wisdom of this book because it's the wisdom of God himself. In the result, he goes, you're going to be prosperous and successful. That does not necessarily mean you're going to be earning like $500,000 a year or something like that. What he means is you're going to experience the blessing of God however he chooses to give it. You're going to be a blessing to people around you. You're going to be part of his plan. If you're like, all right, I want to read God's word. I want it to be always on my lips. What do I do? Tomorrow we're starting a 7-day plan called Lit Up With Love. And the idea is, how do I reflect the life and the love of Jesus? It's in your notes. If you just go to the Bible app and just in the blands, just do lit up with love, it'll come right up. We're gonna start that tomorrow, but let God's word. That's a condition. Stay close to God and his word. And then make a choice. With God, I will be strong and courageous. You know how much Joshua needed to hear this? A lot. Because it's four times in the first chapter. It's eight times overall. Let's just look at a couple examples here. Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Verse 18, only be strong and courageous. You think Joshua needed some encouragement to be strong and courageous? And why is the reason he could be like that? Simply this, because God is with him. If I was called to go out in some men's basketball league, I like to hustle, but I don't shoot well. I can barely jump. But if I was to go out and I was like, hey, there's a lot on the line for this. And I was like, these guys are gonna kill me. But if I walk out and I'm like, I got Jared Allen on my team and Evan Mobley and I got Darius Garland, you know, the Spider, and they're like, Jonathan, how you doing, man? We're on the team together. What happens to my strength and courage? I feel like a champion, right? Because I have these wildly successful friends. How much more the very God of the universe? When he says, I will be with you, should we be anything less than strong and courageous? It's a prayer that I put in your notes that I think we can pray together. Would we say this together aloud where it starts, Lord, I will choose? Can we say that together aloud? Ready? Lord, I will choose courage today, no matter what, believing that you are with me and will provide all that I need, and that is enough. That prayer is in your notes. I would love for you to pray that on a regular basis. Friends, can I say it again? God will never lead you where his presence will not also accompany you. You are never alone. Guy was in a bereaved parents group, wrote just about his own experience, and here's what he said. Lost a child. I mean, just one of the most crushing things in life. And he said, I've learned that I don't have to know why, because I know God. I know he is good even when my situation screams the opposite. I know he is with me even when I can't feel him, for he promises to never leave me or forsake me. I know his plans will prevail for my ultimate good and his ultimate glory, even if they are different from what I expected. I know that I can trust him because even through the hardest suffering, I have learned there is hope. My God is with me. Friends, as the Lord was with Joshua, he's gonna be with you. As he's with this guy, he's gonna be with you. You are never alone. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's thank him together. Father in heaven, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit of God, we thank you that for each one of you as the members of the Trinity, there's a sense in which this book tells us that you come and you live within us when we trust in you. We thank you today. We bless you, Lord. We pray that you would fill us with faith to believe and to cling to this promise, and as a result to say, I'm stronger than I ever felt before. I have courage that I didn't know I could have. And that we would step into whatever you have for us, believing that there's nothing too difficult, Lord, when you are with us and in us. Thank you. We believe. Help us in our unbelief, we pray, for the glory of your name. Amen. Hey, as we sing, if there's something in your life right now where you'd say, this was for me today. I needed to remember, to be reminded that you're with me, you'll never leave me. I put a couple hundred of these cards up here. I don't have enough for you to take 50 and pass them out like in your neighborhood. But if you wanna just come up and you can pray for a second, you can just go, God, I want a reminder. I want to never forget that you are with me and you'll never leave me.